You're listening to Schlereth and Evans on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Troy Rank is our Denver Post insider, and he joins us on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline. Troy, you were at the Nuggets game last night. Heard you during the post-game press conferences, and I'm curious, being at the game, watching it on TV, it just felt like there was more intensity, hunger, desperation with Phoenix than there was with the Nuggets. Did you get that same vibe?
Yeah, I mean, I asked Coach Malone that he feel like the Suns were a more desperate team coming off a horrible loss to the Spurs. They're jockeying in position to try to stay out of the play-in tournament. He said he didn't think it was an effort thing. It's a make-or-miss league, and they didn't make shots. They were terrible from three. They ended up, 10 for 40 from three. They kind of got baited into it where the Nuggets average around 31 threes a game. And they end up shooting 40. Jokic was trying to get other people involved. And the Suns, basically, they double him, and he does the right play. He kicks it out. But without Jamal Murray, they just couldn't nail threes. Connor Gillespie and Reggie Jackson just did not have it last night from beyond the arc. And now they have a huge game coming up later this week against Minnesota that does involve seeding for the Nuggets, whether they're going to be the top seed, the second seed. I mean, that is a big game. But it just looked like a night where, they're still a little vulnerable with their bench. I'm going to be honest, in the playoffs, because people say the bench doesn't play. They got to play some. And when you watch their bench last night, you just look out there and go, who's going to score in that unit? And I know they keep Jamal with that group sometimes, but Jamal's lack of, Jamal not being out there last night was glaring, especially with the second unit at times and certainly with the three-point shooting.
Yeah, they certainly didn't have a great rotation on the bench from the standpoint of, Joker wasn't out there with the bench players, or Jamal wasn't out there, or Gordon wasn't out there. There was sometimes where it was just five bench players, and they looked disheveled at best with their offense. But I will ask you this, Jamal, how concerned should we be about Jamal? That's the third game in a row that I think he's missed. And I thought for sure last night he'd play, and I was a little bit shocked when I put on the broadcast and he wasn't playing.
Yeah, they're trying to do two things at once here, Mark. That is rest players for the playoffs and still get the number one seed. And it's hard to do. And you can tell that they want to be very mindful that they need Jamal healthy going into the playoffs. So as much as you want the one seed, just chasing the one seed and getting it, and if Jamal for some reason is not healthy going into the playoffs, then you're kind of missing the point. But they're so good at home. I understand why they're chasing it, but they don't seem to be worried. It's just, again, Mark, they're trying to balance this where you used to talk about this on your great Broncos teams. Like, you got to be healthy, and you do, but it's that, we want to be sharp too. How do we do that? And they're trying to do both, and I don't know that you can do both successfully because they don't have the bench right now to do that.
You've been on the Broncos beat extensively over the last few years, and I'm just curious. It sounds like the asking price to move up from 12 to 4-3 is basically three number ones. You'd be flip-flopping your number one pick this year, and you'd be giving up a 2025 and a 2026 first round pick, and probably even some more, maybe even a player. Your gut feeling reading this, do they make this kind of a move?
Yeah, it's the Trey Lance trade. I mean, it's three ones and a three for Lance, and that trade was a disaster, and it didn't end up mattering because they were so good with their roster and they found Brock Purdy. I believe they will make the move if the right guy's there. I couldn't tell you who that guy is. At times I've felt it was J.J. McCarthy, but Sean Payton has been so public about things with McCarthy, it just doesn't seem like that would be it. Like, maybe he's trying to throw us off the scent because he talks about him so much. I've felt like in the last few weeks that if it weren't McCarthy, if for some reason Jaden Daniels falls, let's say in this, this crazy world of quarterbacks and the desperation for it, that Caleb Williams goes one and McCarthy goes two to Washington, and then Drake May goes three to Minnesota trading up, and you've got at Arizona sitting four and Jaden Daniels sitting there, I could see, that's where I could see him going, okay, that's worth it. We think he's the best quarterback in the draft. We're putting all our chips in. I don't know that. I know Sean has familiarity with him because of the LSU ties, and there's, at least a couple of members of the, I think, Saints staff that were in LSU, so he would have great knowledge of this player, the person, well beyond, the private workout. So it feels like they're going to do something if that right guy is available. If that person's going to be available at 4, maybe 3, I just don't think they have enough to get past Minnesota to 3 because Minnesota has 2 first-round draft picks. But I'm not ruling it out. When being at the owners' meetings, it's just there's this sense between the Vikings, Broncos, and Raiders, one if not two of those teams is trading up.
Hey, opening day today. It's always a great time. If you got 4 hours to sit on your couch and surf channels, if you get to 1262, you could find the Rockies playing there. How excited are you for opening day in this Rockies season?
Yeah, no, listen, I just posted a story a little bit ago. I sat down with Dick Monfort for a long interview earlier this week. So he addresses multiple issues, including his team's expectations, loyalty to Bill Schmidt and Bud Black, the analytics department, and the TV issue where he had known they were going to be on TV, and they are at least going to be on through DirecTV and Xfinity, but it's not great. The expectations for this season are as low as they've ever been coming in. They're coming off their worst season. Most projections have them somewhere between 58 and 65 wins. They've got to be healthy to have even a chance to be competitive. Chris Bryant's got to show up. He can't be a ghost in uniform. And Monfort does address that in my article today, Bryant's contract. But more than anything, Mark, and you know this, your son pitched in the big leagues. If they don't improve off the mound, it's hard to be competitive. I like some of their young players, Tovar, Jones, Doyle. They got a couple guys coming, especially Jordan Beck, who can really swing it. But you look at each series through the eyes of pitching matchups, and that's the issue. Is if Kyle Freeland's your 1, I love Kyle. He's probably a 4 or 5. So when you look at each series, you say, okay, how do we match up? And they don't match up great off the mound with Marquez out and Senzatella out until at least midseason. And so they better hit better. And that means if to hit better, they got to be healthy. So I love baseball. I'm not the one that's not. I'll still be watching, but it's going to be a tough go for them. The NL West, I joked on Twitter, when you look at that NL West, the Rockies are going to be running up that hill more than Kate Bush. I mean, they are well behind the 8-ball here.
Well, check out Troy's interview with Dick Monfort. Should be revealing. Check it out at the Denver Post. Troy, thank you.
You got it. See you.
Troy Rank, our Denver Post insider on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline. What was the biggest problem for the Nuggets last night? And are we looking at a potential Stanley Cup final preview tonight? All that coming up in 4 Down Territory next.